largest selection of metaphysical video rentals and sales. For holiday parties or gifts, then, on January 4th, start your new year right with author Stuart Wilde lecturing on Guardians of Life in the New Age. Who are your guides? Find out January 4th at Alexandria 2. For reservations and gift information, call Alexandria 2 Bookstore in Pasadena at 818-792-7885. That's 818-792-7885.
Roe Institute of Applied Sciences, and we have Richard on the line. Richard, welcome aboard.
Season's greetings to you, sir.
To you, too.
And Mr. Moreau, I had a couple of questions I would like to ask.
Go for it.
Mr. Moreau, what is the difference between astral projection and soul traveling? And through astral projection, can you move into other spiritual planes, such as moving from the physical to the astral, mental, causal, or etheric, or soul plane? And is it necessary to have a master to help you to get through these planes for your understanding?
Well, that is a number of questions. First of all, we have not used the term astral or astral projection because there's a lot of connotations to that don't seem to apply. We use and have been a part of the coining of the term the out-of-body experience, simply because that seems to be more acceptable in current-day concepts, as it were. As to its relationship, the out-of-body state, as to what we've heard, of course, of soul travel, as it were, we don't know too much about the whole soul travel process as it's practiced. So I can't give you an accurate statement one way or another on it. The third point has to do with the movement into what we call non-physical reality systems. And as one does change one's, quote, belief system, here we go again, that becomes relatively easy to do. We have not found that it requires a master or a guide to take you around and show you the ropes, as it were. You very instinctively or in memory begin to know these instead of having them demonstrated to you. But you have to change your belief system, your overview, your perspective before you can do such type of exploration.
There is a gateway program that's going to be underway here pretty soon in the Los Angeles area, isn't it?
Yes, we have. That gateway process is probably the most successful way to begin to find out about that. And it is a chance for individuals to do overviews, Bill. And my understanding from our group is that in the first two or three months of 87, we're going to have several of our Gateway Extension Network programs out in California. How about that? Yeah. And they'll be held all over the place. And you can call us or write us, and you can get some information about it.
Do you have a local number, a Los Angeles number?
I don't have one here. But I can give you one here in Virginia that you can call.
Okay. We'll take that one.
And that was 804-361-1127. And that has to do with the California programs. And we've decided, because we are so, in the middle of 86, that we are so booked here that we would indeed expend a little energy moving it out into other areas where more people can go through the gateway experience. And that's why we are holding these in California.
You know, one of the things, Richard, that I enjoy so much about the work that Bob and his explorers and their group do at the Institute is that in all things, man has a tendency to put a little bit of mysticism to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly see that done quite often with something that is as interesting as the ability to go out of body. Mysticism, of course, prevails there as well. And even just in the terminology and what they are dealing with there, because you are dealing with the consciousness other than your own physical being, that's taken away, stripped away, and put down in very scientific terminology that you need to come to deal with to keep your foot, I guess, in reality, in one sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Bill, I wanted to especially that I also have experienced fire walking, and I thought that was a very uplifting feeling, you know. And after I firewalk, I went out dancing that same night and got up and played basketball the next day and didn't have any problems whatsoever. But as far as the actual firewalking, it was very exhilarating, very uplifting.
And you had to change your belief systems to do it, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't know I had it in me until I did it, you know. And I really surprised myself. It really makes a difference when you really put your mind at something, you know.
Well, that's a very beautiful
how the body follows it.
The fact that you did do that is just a very fine illustration of all the things you're talking about.
Have you been able to use that ability now, Richard, further?
Yeah, I'm concentrating on myself a lot more better and centering my thoughts and our belief systems, you know, getting them all in order. Like I says, when I actually done the firewalking, they had a cameraman there taking pictures, you know, and it was my surprise to see myself on photograph when I was walking across that I had a smile on my face, you know, not having no fear whatsoever, you know.
I think it's fun to be able to walk barefooted across a hot pavement now and not have to jump up and down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful way, a beautiful entry point on what this consciousness can do if it decides to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Richard, thank you for stepping in. Appreciate
you have a great show.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Because there's guys like you listening to it, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
We're 9 minutes away from 10 o'clock on this Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Robert Monroe. Get him to stay with us. Alan, you're on.
Yes, Bill. How are you tonight, Mr. Monroe?
Great.
Good, Bill. First of all, I want to say I'm impressed with you. You were talking about how one needs to, in so many words, separate from the world, and yet I hear you on KBC constantly giving current events about world affairs. I'm wondering how you make that that switch.
It isn't easy.
No, I wouldn't think so.
It is a... I guess a part of the practicality of life. I don't mind making that switch. In fact, it keeps me rooted in the world that that most people are living in. If I lived just in the open mind world all of the time, I really would be woo-woo, but I would certainly be enjoying it a great deal more.
Well, wouldn't you say that's ultimately our goal, is to somehow be immune to all the garbage that's going on in the
world? Oh, I think not being immune. Being immune is one thing, but ignoring it is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Changing it is, because sticking your head in the sand, you just make an awfully big target.
Well, that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about. I notice a shift of consciousness when I am in a good so-called spiritual mood, and then I hear what's going on through the newspapers or on the TV or radio, and it triggers a shift of consciousness, and I have to fight like crazy to come back to where I was prior to hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice it, too, with people in my past that have somehow wanted to belittle me or put me down. I get this kind of strong heartbeat, and I feel a kind of shift of consciousness to a very negative state of mind, and I'm wondering if Bob wants to comment on that kind of shift of consciousness.
Well, that's rather difficult to comment on, other than the fact that one of the biggest problems is to move in a direction where you can indeed handle this local reality system, if you want to put it that way.
Right.
And I think one of the things that once you develop a particular kind of overview on it, you find it much more interesting, because you know that this is indeed a local traffic, a local custom.
You want to hang on there, Alan?
Sure, Bill.
We're going to have to take a break for news here at 10 o'clock. We'll be back. And, Bob, please stay with us for as long as you can. It's open mind, whatever you want to. But it is a powerful thing that we are just now beginning to come to grips with. We've dealt with it as romanticist and as religionist and as primitives for a long, long time. But it is probably the single most powerful thing that we can come to grips with right now, wouldn't you say, Bob? Let me punch you in. There you are. Excuse me?
Can you hear me?
There we go.
It looks to me that that is one solution, and if we can get enough enough active consciousnesses at work in producing this new approach, and not just us, and it's already begun, of course, that something dynamic may take place.
Well, we're beginning to understand the physics and dynamics of what goes on, and that helps our little minds. We were talking to Alan here a minute ago.
Yes, I'm still here.
Alan, one of the things I wanted to say, you were talking about the shifting in my week here, where I deal with the very
right.
mundane news of the day. I look at that upon as something that is a constant reminder to me mm-hmm. about what we're talking about here tonight. The purpose that we have in life is to end the necessity of these kind of stories happening. This onslaught of inhumanity against everything.
But how can you be in the world but not of it and still be reminded of it constantly?
Well, all of it is a learning experience, and these are things that you always, an evolving experience. And as we can see now, even in the viewpoint that I get an opportunity to take, there is so much for us to do in terms of evolvement.
Well, you
don't have to be a part of that jungle out there necessarily. But you certainly see that the work is cut out for you as an individual.
Yeah.
Because there it is, laid out in front of you every day. And in the midst of all of that, there are some wonderful stories, too, about the advancement of man.
I guess what bothers me a lot is this Rambo mentality. I don't know how it is, Bob, in Virginia, but out here, 9 out of 10 the movies you go to is a shoot 'em up, kill 'em, and it's disgusting to me that theaters and TVs can't be used for more metaphysical probing rather than a constant reminder of our animal nature.
Well, look at the wonderful toys that are under the Christmas tree.
Oh,
this
it's
Christmas.
Disgusting.
Laser guns, and you know, your fellow playmate has a target, you know.
Yeah.
Hit me in the chest with the target and you ring the bell.
You know, I'm a bachelor, and I often think about potential man-woman relationship. But I look at my nieces and nephews and relatives and friends who have kids, and I think a second time, and I don't envy them at all bringing up kids in this mentality.
Well, parents have been saying that since they were parents.
Yeah. So, just how do you, now you report the news, when you go out in the world along the street and you see something that reminds you of the primitive nature of society, how do you center?
How do I center?
Yeah, I mean, how do you bounce off that?
Well, I come from the very pit of it. That's the San Diego Freeway, and everything from there is uphill. And so it makes it a little easier for me
yeah.
there. Now, it is a reminder of work that I have to do, so that I am not doing that. Of the example that I can set, so that I am not causing people to react as I might be reacting to others.
Do you ever get those characters that almost seem to lay in wait for you? No matter how much you grow, they can still get your goat?
Oh, yeah, people do not like for you to grow.
Oh, no.
Because you are now putting responsibility on them to grow.
Yeah.
It works the other way around. Most people want to pull you down. You mustn't let that happen.
Right. Well, I also found somebody saying that you have to be careful of responding with hate because you become like those you hate. And that makes a lot of sense to me because I found that the more I struggle for metaphysical awareness, that struggling actually gets me deeper into the darkness. I don't know. I probably didn't say that clear enough.
No, you just talk about frustrations that are coming in.
Frustrations, yeah.
Bob, I know you've tried to get in there a couple of times, and Alan and I are hogging the conversation, and you're the honored guest.
Oh, well, I don't know about the honored, but it is difficult to get in, I'll tell you. I would just wanted to drop a little interesting thing for Alan, because this is one of our, you know, some of our think tank sessions we get into this, and that's what would be an utopian culture. And it would appear to me, because he's talking about the movies and television, things like that, would be a culture that starts at infancy with that beginnings of human consciousness. And its sole purpose, everything, is to enhance that consciousness arbitrarily, not with any particular belief system, but just to enhance it so that all the things that you perceive of as negative things are not negative. They are done for only one purpose, and that's to enhance that consciousness. What that consciousness becomes is something else again. So that conceivably you would have all the things that you see that affect human behavior are all aimed at that goal instead, and rather than just to simply entertain or provide spectacular pictures and shoot 'em ups or whatever, are intended and very carefully aimed at making that consciousness more effective for itself. Quite a trick.
How about the area of Jesus spoke of regenerating? Now, somehow, I would think that if you talk about soul travel and that sort of thing, you're enhancing the aging process. I can't picture Jesus, when he would speak about regeneration, as him thinking in terms of astral travel. This, to me, would wear out the physical organism.
I think there's a very quick and very solid response that I can give for that. And that is that we very firmly take the position now that everyone goes through the out-of-body experience during sleep. The fact that you don't remember it does not mean that it does not take place. And that that is a very natural process of the human mechanism. And that is to be released from that physical body activity for a period. And we are not sure how deep that goes. It may be happening in a waveform that is right now, so that you are here now physically awake and also active in another reality system simultaneously. You just don't remember it.
You know, you may enjoy reading Dr. Sophia Caragula's book called Through the Curtain, in which she talks about the fact that, indeed, this does happen to you nightly, and this curtain that you go through lets you go to school and gives you a lot of these things that you may call insight. You're actually learning them in the out-of-body state.
But do you find that it helps you get more youthful, return to some sort of fountain of youth, or is this hastening the aging process? What is the connection between astral travel and our longevity in age?
I don't know that there's necessarily a connection. I would say certainly that out-of-body activity, I mean consciously, certainly does not hasten the aging process. I was just, when you talked aging, I was saying, how long have I been doing this? I mean consciously. And I go back to 1958, and how many years is that?
May I ask how old you are, Bob?
Huh?
May I ask how old you are?
I'm 71 years old.
Oh, well, I think you're proving your point. Well, thanks very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Alan, good to have you aboard.
My pleasure, always.
It's a Saturday night in Los Angeles, 16 minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm Bill J. I have Steve on the line. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for your show, Bob. You know, I mean, Bill, in your own way, you've made me a better person with all these topics you have every week.
Well, thank you. That makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it's a wonderful breath experience. I was wondering also, Bill, real quick, has there ever been any consideration given to transmitting your show across the country like Michael Jackson does?
Yes, there has. When the American Broadcasting Company finally opens up the satellites on weekend nights, they certainly have indicated they want to sit down and talk to me about doing that. At the present time, the network is dark at night on the weekends. The reason for that is economics at the present time.
Capital cities, too.
And, well, it's very difficult for them to sell that the amount of time necessary in order to make that profitable.
Well,
and ABC is not ABC is not a philanthropic organization, or it's not intended to be
right.
Anyway.
Right, the rest of the country can sure profit by it, though.
Well, how nice of you. Thank you very much.
Also, Mr. Monroe, I just read your first book recently, and it really opened my mind. It was really wonderful. And do you have any indication of when your second book might be out in paperback?
The second book?
Yes, sir.
Far Journeys, I doubt there will be in paperback for some years to come.
Okay, we'll have to go out and buy it tomorrow then in hardback. Mr. Monroe, I've had some, I dream quite a bit. I dream a couple of times a night.
Yes.
And they're always wonderful dreams, and a lot of them are flying dreams of various kinds. They're always wonderful. recently I've had quite a few remarkable dreams. They seem to be intensifying. One in particular was my first verifiable precognitive dream. I was wondering if you could just go into a little bit more what you touched upon earlier about dreaming and sleeping and going into maybe astral body projection at that point.
Well, I think I should respond that we are exploring, and we haven't gotten firmly into the position that that all dreams, at least the ones that you remember, are forms of what we call NVC, which is nonverbal communication. Now, you can speculate all that you desire as to the source of that communication, and if you take your own pick, whether it's your inner self, whether it's your soul, your super consciousness, or even another part of you that is non-physical.
And maybe all of the above.
It could well be all of the above, but the most interesting is to take it as a form of communication and nonverbal. And the point is that oftentimes it is translating something out from one medium into another, and I say one process into another, and therefore it is often distorted or filtered by your own memory system or your own ability to remember it, and therefore it is not the same thing as you exactly particularly remember it as a dream. Once you begin to take that perspective, however, a lot of things fall into place, that it is a form of communication. And, of course, all the dream analysts for years have been doing this, but take it as a direct form of, call it guidance if you want. Some of them pretty hard. Nightmares are very heavy guidance, as it were.
Some of the dreams I have, I don't know where they'd be guiding you.
Well, that's the problem.
Right down a rosy path to who knows what.
That's right.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your writing, Mr. Monroe.
Play around with Far Journeys. It's got another approach to it.
Well, I'll definitely go over to the Bodhi Tree tomorrow and get that, and I hope you feel better.
Oh, I'll be better.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good to have you aboard. And Rick.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Bill, and good morning, Bob.
Good morning is true.
I would like to first relate my experience with astral travel or out-of-body experience, and that was when I was 7 years old. I was going to sleep, and I found myself suddenly out of body. And
you did,
Excuse me?
You did, huh?
Yes, I did.
Everybody goes but Bill.
What I did was, since I was so young, I didn't have any fear or real apprehension about the experience. So I flew around my balcony and down the stairs towards the wall, and I saw a British target on the wall. It was like an insignia from a British warplane. Could you hold on just a second? I'll be right back.
Where's he going?
I don't know. Rick, hurry right back.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Happens to everybody.
I was taping this, but somehow the tape just stopped, so I guess I'll go without it.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, I was going down through the down the stairs, and I saw the British target on the wall. And when I did that, I said, well, I might as well see what I can do and go through the wall. And as I did that, I accelerated, and I felt like I was moving very fast and very slow at the same time. And then the target disappeared, and it was a hole. I went through it, and I found myself at the controls of a World War II plane, probably a Spitfire. And I was shooting at Nazi warplanes. And suddenly I saw flak coming out the canopy, and everything went black, and I popped out on the other side of the wall, floating above the floor. At that point, I tried to get my mother's attention in the kitchen, and told her I was flying and tell her what happened. And she was physically downstairs in the kitchen with some guests. And I had projected this thought at her, and she clearly turned towards me and said, go back to sleep, Ricky, you're dreaming. So I did. I went back upstairs. I flew back upstairs and got back in my body. And a few minutes later, I came downstairs. And she had just ushered the guests out, and I told her what happened. And she told me again that I was dreaming. So that closed the book on it for a while. Then in college, about 5 years ago, somebody mentioned Journeys Out of the Body, and I read the book and found out what had happened. And all between that time, I had many dreams that Steve mentioned, lots of flying dreams. Now, Steve's question and your answer helped quite a bit with my question, but I do have another one, and that is, I've been using the methods that you prescribe in Journeys Out of the Body, and in my conscious state, I've only been able to get small parts of my body out, like my hand or a foot or something like that, and I haven't been able to really roll out or anything. But in my sleep, I am very conscious of going out of body, and I have a lot of fun with it. What can I do to allow myself to have this experience in a conscious waking state?
Well,
or is there really a difference?
First of all, interesting comment about, are you, my own curiosity prompts this question. Are you old enough to have, or young enough, I put it this way, to have been in an airplane over somewhere in World War II in a Spitfire? In other words, could you have been flying an airplane in World War II?
In this physical life?
Yeah.
No, I'm 29.
So then it gets conceivable that you indeed might have been flying a World War II airplane.
Yeah.
Not in this particular life.
Not in this life, no.
Interesting concept.
Yeah.
I
had the physical sensation of being older, taller, and had thoughts that seven-year-olds really shouldn't be having.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very clear to me to this day.
I think that's a very interesting study, and I would recommend that you explore that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Explore it. It's very simple. When you go to bed at night, simply lie back, and once you get relaxed, well, remember the episode and then try to remember details about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
What you get out of it, because you should, if that premise is true, and it's only a premise, you should be able to find out details about it, including who you were at that time.
Well, I have done some work with it. My wife is a past life regressionist.
Mm-hmm.
Since we met a few years ago, she's been studying, and I've also been channeling for about 7 months now. I've been in class for 8 months, and I've gotten in touch with some of the ideas about that life through the channeling, mostly a little bit through the past life regression, which I didn't take to quite easily right away.
Did she get you back into a World War II situation?
That wasn't the thing that happened. Mostly it came out of the channeling.
Hmm.
Channeling first my higher self through writing, and then vocally channeling other beings, and also speaking to other channels. My wife also is a channel, and I associate with a lot of channels in the Los Angeles area.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah. What came out from my own channeling was that, channeling my higher self, that is, was that I indeed found out my name, what I looked like, what kind of person I was, and why I chose to die so young in that life.
Have you taken time to investigate to see if indeed that person did exist?
No, I haven't done that yet. I guess I'm
that's
kind
the
of
thrilling thing.
About
oh,
that.
That's well worth investigating.
Yeah, and it's even conceivable that my parents from that life could be alive.
There are records that you can get that would tell you all about it, incidentally.
Yeah.
And whenever you find out that person did exist, Rick?
Yeah.
You think we had an exhilarating time walking on the coals? And then whenever you meet the parents, if they're still alive?
That should be real good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Solidifying your conscious out of body, there are two approaches. Your belief system's in pretty good shape, so
right. that process quite that. A bit out through the channeling.
We have a. Why don't you write us? We have some tape systems that you can use at home.
Well, now I've just received the Gateway Discovery Focus 10 series.
Yeah.
Well, you're in good shape there.
And I haven't had time yet to go over them.
Well, there's only one answer there. It won't do you any good in the package.
That's true. But I've only just received them, so I'll.
Well, good.
I'll get right to them.
And they're going to have the Gateway meetings going on here next month.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
If you call in about that, that would be very helpful too.
Yeah.
But it's. The information in Journeys Out of the Body.